Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, a 6-4 win for the London Knights, an empty netter making for that two-goal advantage. Let's look at your scoring summary from this game. Sam Dickinson opened it, and opened it early, just 15 seconds in. Dickinson's first of the playoffs from Max McHugh and Caleb Lawrence. It was 1-0 London. Then Kasper Haltinen with his fifth of the postseason from Ruslan Gazizov at 3:50 of the first. And just like that, it was 2-0 for the London Knights. That's the way the first period would end. Early in the second, on a London power play that carried over from the first, Jacob Julien would score his second of the playoffs from Sam Dickinson and Denver Barkey. It came just 64 seconds into the period, and it was 3-0 London. Then the Rangers found their legs. It was on a power play when Adrian Misiljevic would score his second of the playoffs from Luca Romano and Philip Machar. 5:11 of the second, a Ranger power play goal. It was 3-1. The Knights, though, would answer on, guess what? The Channers power play. Jacob Julien with his second of the game, third of the playoffs from Denver Barkey and Kasper Haltinen at 7:20. And it was 4-1 London. But the Rangers, again, would find another gear. Trent Swick with his third of the postseason from Adrian Misiljevic and Cameron Reed at 13:33 on the Channers power play. It was 4-2. Before the end of the second, Edward Chalet, his fifth of the playoffs, from Philip Machar and Carson Rakoff at 15:52. It was 4-3 after 40 minutes. 5 goals total in the second period. 2 for London, 3 for Kitchener, all of them on the power play. London led 4-3 after 40 minutes. In the third, Cameron Mercer would tie the game for the Kitchener Rangers. Mercer's first of the playoffs from Cameron Reed and Carson Rakoff at 3:13, and we were tied at fours. It was a really well-played period. Not much in the way of whistles. Good offense, good defense. You saw teams rushing into the other zone, defended well, back and forth hockey, and Jacob Julien would finish off a nice passing play from Denver Barkey at 9:26 of the third. Julien's hat trick goal of this game, his fourth of the playoffs, Jackson Edward, the secondary assist, 9:26 of the third, and that would stand up as the winner. Isaiah George would add one into an empty net with 16 seconds to go. George's third of the playoffs, and London takes game three, 6-4, and they take a 3-0 series stranglehold in this Western Conference semifinal. The Rangers go 3-for-6 on the Channers power play in this one. London goes 2-for-6 with the man advantage, and the Knights outshoot the Rangers 34-29. A valiant effort for Kitchener comes up short, and now the long climb back begins as the Rangers trail the series 3-0. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, a 6-4 London victory over the Kitchener Rangers. An empty netter from Isaiah George with 16 seconds to go iced this one for the Knights, who now lead the series 3-0. On our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard tonight, they have just started overtime in Ottawa. 67s and Generals are tied 3-3. Oshawa has a 2-0 series lead in that one. And how about this in Sudbury? The Wolves trailed 2-0 early, jumped in front 3-2 by the end of the first, led 5-3 with 4 minutes to play on home ice to North Bay, and guess what? It's now tied 5-5. Off to OT they go. Battalion Wolves in Sudbury. North Bay with a 2-0 series lead in that one. So the Gens and the Battalion look for their own 3-0 strangleholds, headed to overtime. 3-3 in Ottawa, 5-5 in Sudbury. And in the National Hockey League, it's the Florida Panthers with a 4-2 lead on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Early third, we are on the Austin Matthews 70-goal watch, but he is yet to tally in this game. Noah Gregor and former London Knight Mitch Marner have the goals for the Toronto Maple Leafs in that one. In this game versus the London Knights, the Kitchener Rangers found themselves down 2-0 less than 4 minutes into the game. And then a minute four into the second, the Rangers were down 3-0. But they would find a way to battle back. A lot of undisciplined play from the Knights. A couple of blindside hits, including a five in a game to Caleb Lawrence, led to some Ranger power play opportunities in the second period. Rangers would battle back, tie at 4-4 before London ultimately won it 6-4. Let's send it downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm with head coach UC Ahokas. And coach, I give your team a lot of credit for battling back, being down 4-1 and getting the game tied. Just your thoughts on the start to the game. Did it really cripple you guys?
Well, yeah, I kind of, when your first shift and you want to come in, huge crowd, great atmosphere, we're ready, and we, our third guy jumped deep there and we didn't have a third guy, and then they got that odd man rush. Like, you shouldn't give that for sure and start. And then second one, there was a rim, we should have got that, and then kind of a shot tip in, and then all of a sudden all of a sudden it's 2-0. Like, but that's the thing in playoffs, every shift, every block, every little thing, detail matter. And they got the good start from it, and then we were behind. Good thing how we got back from 4-1 to 4-4. But we can't say. We were too much on the penalty box today, for sure.
Speaking of penalty box, coach, your team was able to generate on the power play tonight. You got three power play goals. What was the biggest change there?
Well, we had a good talk, practiced it a lot, and now you have to have courage there. When we had more courage there, we had good chances there. Otherwise, we could have actually had him in fourth, but... But yeah, the start killed us today, and then harmful rush goal there, the fifth one, what they got, that was too bad, because we were pumping at that time. But we have to, in those situations, we just have to defend better.
Well, the good thing is, you know, you can score against this club. You just have to shut them down. You just, you know, the old saying, take it one game at a time, one shift at a time, and get yourself back in.
Well, we can't do anything else. That's how you're gonna go for it. Like, it's been done before. It's not like never been done, so why think too much ahead? Just go. And that's actually been my motto, the whole playoffs. Like, we're ready to play seven games every series, and we don't quit until you need that four wins, and we're still going. We just made it a little bit harder for ourselves.
I'm well aware it's been done before. 2010 or 11, we were up 3-0 on Windsor and lost 4-3. So, yes, it can be done, and you just have to chip away at it, correct?
Yeah, exactly like that. And I thought this was the best game from three games, and we've been getting better every game. So that's the idea. Next game we have to be again a little bit better and just do the small things right, and then just hope that it turns for us. But it's not hope. Like, when we do the right things, then you have a chance. But we can't, like this, small mental errors, defending errors. I'm not taking away anything else. London scored the goals well, but and then we can't, like, I don't know how it is, but this is not, playoff hockey is not for me when it's the whole game is power play or penalty kill like it was today.
Coach, I always appreciate a few minutes of your time. Thank you, and good luck on Thursday.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. And Rangers head coach UC Ahokas following a 6-4 London victory. And yes, it becomes cliche time. One shift at a time from here on out. Your post-game show is brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
A 6-4 win for the London Knights, a 3-0 series lead. Paul Fixter is ringside.
Thanks, Mike. It's really nice to have Mitchell Martin in the game tonight. It's really special to be joined by him after the game. Welcome back. And how did you feel out there tonight, Mitchell?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a weird, long road, but, you know, everything considered, I felt all right, did what I could, and, yeah, it's great to be back out there with the boys.
How difficult was it to sit and watch from the sidelines over this last period of time?
Yeah, I mean, especially any time sucks, but especially in the playoffs when you know you're definitely needed, it's tough, but it's something I've been dealing with for most of the year. So yeah, it sucks, but now that I'm back, I'm gonna do everything I can to help us win.
Why tonight? How did you choose tonight? Just being down in the series 2-1 or 2-0?
Yeah, that had a little bit to do with it. We also there's a lot of consulting with our doctors and stuff, and they felt like it was safe to try it out. And you know, if there was a time to come in, it would be tonight. So,
what does this team have to do to have a better start to the game?
Yeah, I think we're getting a little bit too horny off the start. Like our first goal today, just didn't have a responsible third forward, and they got a lot of skilled players on that team. So if we give them a 3-on-2 right off the bat, chances are they're gonna capitalize. And then, I mean, the tip, it's just a fluky goal. But yeah, I would say just take care of the puck a bit better, and yeah, maybe just simplify in the first little bit of the game.
The odds are long to come back when you're down 3-0. It has been done. What's it going to take? How do you get yourselves back feeling good about yourselves and get a win and get the ball rolling in the direction you want?
Yeah, I think we just take it one game at a time, one period at a time, and just, you know, it's going to require some luck. Like, we're going to just need to do everything we can to keep the puck out of our net. We know we can score against them, and yeah, we made history last year, and I think if there's any team in the league to do it, it's us.
How difficult is it to remain positive? And it is important to remain positive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's down 3-0. It's hard to find the positives, but I think if anything, that game we showed that we got some fight, we got some bite in our game, and you know, it's not easy coming back from 3 goals against a team like that. So I think that's a step in the right direction. Obviously, a little bit too late. Well, not an ideal spot in the series, but. Yeah, we just got to keep building off that.
Last question for you, Mitchell, but your team is able to get 3 power play goals tonight. How crucial is it that the team remains disciplined and not take as many penalties as the team has been taking?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think they had 2 or 3 too, so they got 2 pretty good power plays over there. And, yeah, I think our best chances of coming back are at 5-on-5. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Very important.
Great to see you back in the lineup tonight. I know these interviews aren't easy. I truly appreciate you giving me a few minutes of your time.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Mitch Martin back in the lineup, but could not lift the Rangers to victory in game number 3 as the Knights win it 6-4. London now has a 3-0 series advantage. Post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is Kitchener Rangers Hockey on City News 570.
Who blew a call? Who left it all out on the ice? Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter. Break it down on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where 6,700 plus go home unhappy, but boy, did they see a whale of a hockey match tonight. Let's look at your 3 stars from this game. 3 stars, a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Third star of this game with a goal and an assist for the London Knights is Kasper Haltonen. Also a goal and an assist in this game, but for the Kitchener Rangers, Adrian Misiljevic is recognized as star number 2. And with the hat trick, including the game winner for the London Knights, Jacob Julien, no doubt about it, is named star number 1 of this game. So your 3 stars go Julien, Misiljevic, and Haltonen. Your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. We'll take a final break and come back with more from Paul Fixner before opening up the phone lines and getting to your calls during Rangers Talk. All of it brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixner.
Well, back here for some final thoughts with Paul Fixner, and then we're going to open up the phone lines and hear from you. And I wonder how you're feeling, Rangers Nation, with Kitchener now down 3-0 to the division rival, London Knights. A 6-4 win for the Knights in this one. Paul, you got to give the Rangers credit for a number of things, but when you want to be critical after a loss, you look at the start to the game for sure.
Yeah, they weren't ready to play, Mike, for whatever reason. And veterans out there, veteran line out there, and that really hurt them. I know they were able to come back and tie the game 4-4, but you have to have better starts to the game. And it's demoralizing to start that way. But I give them credit. They did fight back. But that's you can't play 35 minutes of a game and expect to win the hockey game. And that's about what the Rangers played, I think.
So you and UC talked about it during your post-game conversation. You referenced that 2010 playoff versus the Windsor Spitfires when Kitchener was up 3-0. Windsor came back to win it in 7. We've talked about the Guelph Storm down 3-0 to this London team in 2019. Comes back to win it in 7. It really is now, as cliche as it sounds, shift by shift for the Kitchener Rangers.
It is shift by shift. You have to rely on your veteran guys to take charge. Mike, you might have to shorten the bench at times. You know, if guys aren't going, you have to do whatever it takes to win, and that, those are in-game adjustments that have to happen. And I think Mitchell Martin is bang on when he says we need a little bit of luck to go our way. Kind of a goal like Heltonen scored with Gazizov's shot just goes in off somebody, or maybe one goes in off a London defender skate, something like that. They need a little bit of hockey luck, puck luck, to help them get back in this.
How are you feeling, Rangers Nation? We open the phone lines right now and go deep into the night. I don't care if it's a school night. Let's go. Rangers Talk, give us a call and tell us how you're feeling with London up 3-0 in the series. A break and back with your calls. All of the post-game coverage is brought to you by our friends at You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570. The Kitchener Rangers 4. London led this game 4-1 in the second period. And the Rangers would battle all the way back, tying things up on a Cameron Mercer goal, 3:13 into the third. But I guess that's all the fight the Kitchener Rangers had in them tonight, Paul Fixner. And London with an empty netter from Isaiah George and a game winner, the hat trick goal from Jacob Julian about halfway through the third period, picks up the 3-0 series lead.
Yeah, London did what they do best, and that's, you know, generate the offense that they needed. They're an offensive-minded club. It's interesting on the Mercer goal. I was talking with Sean Fafaro down at ice level, and he said between the second and third period intermission, Mercer was going through a bunch of sticks, must have went through about a half dozen sticks, getting the right weight, getting the right feel. Well, he picked the right stick because he got a big goal, his first goal of the playoffs. Good on him. Kitchener needs more of Cameron Mercer-type play in game four.
One of the big factors in that third period, Paul, we talked about Max Dhiracolo and his inability to prevent a pass from Denver Barkey to get into the slot where it found Jacob Julien for what turned out to be the game-winning goal. Max Dhiracolo pressed into more service in the third period. Matthias Stark is playing defense for the Kitchener Rangers in this series because Olivier Savard was knocked out in game one. Sam O'Reilly of London, a two-game suspension for that. He's ready to come back for game four. Caleb Lawrence got five in a game for a blindside hit to the head of Simon Motu in the second period tonight. Motu did not play the third, pressing Dhiracolo into more ice time on an already depleted back end for the Kitchener Rangers. That clearly was a factor.
Yeah, and Simon Motu is such a leader for this club, Mike. It's really unfortunate. He did finish the second period after taking the hit, but then for whatever reasons that we don't know of, he wasn't able to come back in the third, and that really hurts the Rangers. He's a minute muncher. He's a good penalty killer guy. He's secondary power play. He's a leader. He blocks shots. He does everything for this hockey club. He's been a real force in the playoffs. He's been a real force all season. And I hope and pray that we see him back here in game four.
I certainly do, too. It is his overage season, and every game has the potential now of being Simon Motu's last game, certainly in this series. 519-570-2545, *570, 1-800-570-5715. Jeffrey, you're on Rangers Talk.
Yeah, guys, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, it's good. That's the response I wanted. So, really quickly, I'm just going to lay this out on the line. You can cut me off anytime you want. It has nothing to do with a 3-0 series lead or 3-0 deficit. I've poured my heart out to this team for the last 3 years, and I've went through some dicey situations doing it. Sold my soul to go to a few games. Paid money, asked people to pay my ticket to go, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, what I'm doing is not the right method. Obviously, Mr. Jeffrey Superfan is not the way to go. So I hope someone else is able to take my fandom and produce it the right way. Because I'm done. After 3 years as a long-serving Rangers fan that actually engaged, I'm 30 years old now, but nobody within the organization or anybody has really given me any sort of day. I've asked to volunteer. I've asked to work there. I've asked to do everything with that team and give back, and they won't do it. So you know what? I hope the next person that has as much passion for this team that I do, I hope that they're able to get what they want. I love
you. All right, Jeffrey. Thanks for the call. For an organization that's now 60-plus years old, to have been a diehard fan for 3 years, bless your heart, but I think, at least if we're equating diehard fandom by number of years in seats, there are a few people that have got you beat on that one, Jeffrey.
Well, if he's true to his word and chooses not to come back to Ranger games, I certainly hope that he listens to you and myself in future broadcasts.
Paul and I are here for every single game, home and away. And you know what that made me think of for a moment? Our buddy Eddie, who's also a regular caller to our post-game show, was kvetching earlier this season that season's ticket holders, they just don't get enough stuff, right? He wanted more than the towel that we got for game one of the playoffs or whatever it was here. But it's interesting. I think about Eddie now because he came up during the pregame show tonight for a little chat beforehand and told us that the Kitchener Rangers were going to score 3 power play goals. Well, that's what the Rangers did tonight.
They did indeed. I think a big part of that, Mike, is, and the coach talked about it, they worked extensively on it the last couple of days because they had to, because they were 0-10. I don't have the same crystal ball as Eddie. I didn't see 3 coming. I certainly expected them to get 1 or more, and they did. But they have to. And they have to because it's such an important part of the game. But also, they're given ample opportunities, like 6 power plays again tonight. It's 5 or 6 every night.
And in the case of tonight, much like in game one, there was a 5-minute power play. There was a 5-on-3 opportunity as well. So to the Rangers' credit, they cashed in this time. Unfortunately, they cashed in during a loss, and maybe by game three, it's a little too late to start cashing in, given the power play opportunities you had getting to this point.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I guess it's something that, you know, you have to take the positives out of games. That's certainly a positive. I keep saying this. There's certain players, Mike, they just need more out of some players. And now's the time, guys. Like, there's no tomorrow when you lose, if you lose the next game. So empty your tank. Maybe there's injuries, nagging injuries. And this is why we talked about in the first round, the less games you play, the better off you are. And, you know, we had 6 games and had to go back to Erie, you know, for that game 6. And that's taxing on the body. The more game. And Erie was a very physical series. And this is way more physical than the Erie series. So you see attrition. Savard's gone. Motu left the game. We don't know the extent of, or why. But there's wear and tear on the body.
Yeah, I'm going to take that a step further, Paul, because you talk about nagging injuries. That's one thing. Olivier Savard, everybody in the league knows that he got concussed on that hit from Sam O'Reilly, which was a suspendable infraction. 2 games to O'Reilly. As I already mentioned, he's gone until Thursday. He's due back in game 4. I'm sick to my stomach for Simon Motu, a guy that has just given everything to this team through this season. And sure, I won't speculate, but I will say it was a blindside hit directly to the head. I think we can all ascertain what the outcome of that was and why Simon Motu didn't play the third period. And just to take it half a step further, if we knew an area of weakness for the Kitchener Rangers coming into this series, it was the blue line. When you got to the third pairing, a little bit less experience in Savard and Diracolo, and what 2 players have been knocked out of this series. We don't know if Motu's coming back, but for the Kitchener Rangers, 2 defensemen. You've got Matthias Stark playing defense, a forward and a rookie at that, and you've got Max Diracolo acquired in the under-18 draft. He's got maybe 30 games under his skates for the Kitchener Rangers this season, getting more minutes on defense because these other 2 guys have been knocked out of the series.
Yeah, big losses. And the one player that we haven't talked a whole lot about, obviously he's hurt, injured, can't play, is Carson Campbell. You know, there's a defenseman who played a lot of good hockey for this club this year, and I really like the way he plays, and he plays with that edge. You know, he likes the physical part of the game. The big miss there, so, you know, that's another defenseman that's gone. I didn't really want to bring it up, but we kind of have, is if Simon isn't able to play game 4, it's just so sad for me that is, if the Rangers were to lose, his career, OHL career, sorry, would end on that note, because this guy's been a horse. I really only followed him a little bit last year and obviously all of this year. This guy's been a horse. This guy's a good hockey player. He's smart, and he's a pleasure to be around. He's always the individual who I can count on in a demoralizing, tough loss. I'll never forget that night in Erie when we lost 6-1. Everybody was in a real awful mood, and Simon Motu gave me, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes of airtime postgame. I really have a lot of respect for Simon Motu.
I am going to hold out hope for the best, because I've got a lot of time for that young man myself, and we'll see what Thursday brings when game number 4 in this series rolls around. The Knights now have the proverbial stranglehold, up 3 games to none following a 6-4 win here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. Let's go back to the phones on Rangers Talk. Bob, you're on City News 570.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Hi. First of all, let me say there's no better guys to listen to on the radio. As a longtime baseball fan, I've ranked you up there with the likes of Ernie Harwell and those types of announcers.
Okay, Bob, let's not get carried. Like, that is very much appreciated, young man, but that is, let's not get too carried.
I lived in Windsor, and I absolutely loved listening to Mr. Harwell call games. He was fantastic.
Yeah, and that's true. If you're referencing Ernie Harwell, no offense, you can't be that young, but Bob, very much appreciated. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Paul, a quick question for you, because this stood out to me during the game when you mentioned the way London always has that confidence and swagger every year. As a coach, is that something you could teach players, or is that something when you're drafting players, in addition to their skill, that's just part of their makeup?
I think it's both. I think it's a very good question, Bob. I think it's both. Certainly character plays a part of it. It's part of their...
Culture. That's what I always come back to.
Yeah, it's part of their culture, and that comes from Mark and Dale Hunter, who instilled that. And quite honestly, this is the way we play. This is the way you're going to play if you want to play for us, and if you don't, you know, there's the door. They demand that. And, you know, Dale played a long time, 20-plus years, and Dale played like the London Knights play in 2024. They are a knock off the coach's block. So I think it's a bit of both. That's a great question.
Oh, thanks very much. I still think they have a chance to come back. I think it'll take a lot, but hopefully Thursday night they can do something special.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's something that hasn't been done very often, but as we know, it has been done.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks for your time tonight, guys. Appreciate all of the work you do.
Thanks, Bob. Really appreciate your kind words and your participation in Rangers Talk tonight. You nailed it, Paul. It doesn't matter who you are and what the name is on the back of your jersey. When you are playing for the London Knights, this is the way you're going to play. I've said for years, one of the most amazing things to me about the London Knights and the year-over-year success is that it doesn't matter the personnel. Marner, Dvorak, Domi, you're playing the 1-2-2 when it comes to that point of the game.
John Tavares.
Absolutely. The London Knights will play opportunistic hockey. They are so structured and so disciplined, they'll just wait for you to make the mistake. And you don't think those guys want to go out there and dangle and score goals and pile up points? They get the opportunity to do that. All of the stars do at times. But when the situation calls for it, they will sit there and they will trap the ever-loving bejeepus out of you so that they can wait for you to make a mistake and they can pounce.
They force turnovers, no question about it, Mike. And they're always very fleet of foot, quick teams. They're physical teams. They intimidate to some extent. And, you know, I think the word you used is really described, like opportunistic. And when they get their opportunities, they make the most of it. And, you know, you look even at the start of this game here, they came out on a mission. They had a game plan, and it was to get the lead early. I know they let it slip away through some undisciplined penalties, but in the end, they found a way to win. And, you know, there's a reason the game is 60 minutes, and in the playoffs it can be longer. You have to play it out, and I guess London didn't really get phased, you know, off. I thought Kitchener did take control of the game for a while, but London stuck to their guns, and in the end, they were able to get that fifth goal.
The playoff games went longer in Ottawa and Sudbury. In the nation's capital, it is over. Oshawa, now a 3-0 series lead with a 4-3 overtime victory in Sudbury. North Bay got two goals in the final 4 minutes to tie 5-5. They're still in overtime up in Sudbury. The Battalion looking for a 3-0 series lead. London has the 3-0 series lead here with a 6-4 win over the Kitchener Rangers. Let's go back to the phones. Evan, you're on Rangers Talk. Evan, are you underwater again? I can barely hear you, my friend.
No, I'm not, sir.
Okay, that's perfect.
Talk away, Evan.
To be honest, I don't even know what to say about that game, to be honest.
Gather your thoughts and give us something.
Well, it was 2-0 after the first, and then 4-3 after the second, and then I don't know what happened in the third, but somehow the Knights came back, and well, I guess they're ahead the whole time, but you know, like I feel like the Rangers could have done a little better on the power play and penalty kill. But, you know.
All right.
I feel like Dale Hunter could have. There's no way. There's no easy way of saying this, okay? But, you know, like, somehow. I know you guys are I know you guys are probably laughing at me right now, but if you're you may as well hire a elephant for the one night, courtesy of Dale Hunter.
All right, Evan, appreciate the call. I'm not sure what that really means, unless it means that the culture is so well instilled in London that it doesn't matter who's behind the bench. I will also just say, I don't think there was much wrong with the Rangers' power play tonight. They went 3-for-6, first power play goals of this series. So I think what we're hearing from Evan is a little bit of frustration, and understandably so, when you see your team go down 3-0 in a playoff series.
Well, Evan's frustrated. Jeffrey was frustrated, our first caller. And, you know, that's because they're passionate fans, and I get that. I'm going to take the positive out of this tonight. Like, Kitchener showed perseverance. They showed pushback. They didn't quit when they very easily could have. When they got down 3-0, Mike, I did not foresee them coming back to tie this game. I have to be honest.
I agree with that.
And they did. So there's always positives to take. And I'm going to take the positives out of the game. And there are 3-for-6 is fantastic. This was the number one penalty killing unit in the league, and Kitchener was able to finally figure them out against a very good goaltender as well. And you know, we say your goaltender has to be your best penalty killers. They were able to figure it out tonight, and they're going to get opportunities again in Game 4. Because that's the way it is with London. They take a lot of penalties.
Speaking of goaltenders, we should give credit. We did during the broadcast, but Michael Simpson made a couple of all-world saves tonight in the London goal.
He really did, and, you know, I've just been watching him throughout the series, and that's why in the Across the Hall segment, I asked Dylan about his presence, having a playoff MVP, what's it mean to the club? And, well, you heard his, if you were listening, you heard his reply, it means everything to this club. And what he does is, when things are getting out of control, like they did for a couple of minutes here, or for a while tonight, he just seems to have that calming effect, and that's what good goaltenders do.
All right, let's squeeze in one more before the break. Cody, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Farwell. Hey, Fixture. What's up, guys?
We're good, Code. Thank you.
What can I say? A little frustrated. Well, I may be a little frustrated as well, along with Evan, but but at least I can tell, like Fixture said, their power play was decent tonight, 3-for-6. Like, that was
good.
You
betcha.
I have confidence in this team. Like, we don't go down without a fight, and Game 4 is going to be different.
All right, Cody, appreciate the call, and I'm sure the team appreciates your confidence. And again, Paul, it's not without precedent. You were on the wrong end of a team coming back from 3-0 down when Windsor knocked off your Rangers back in the 2010 playoffs. London was on the wrong end of a 7-game series when they were up 3-0 on the Guelph Storm back in 2019, and Guelph came all the way back. So it can be done. It's a tall order, though, for the Kitchener Rangers from here.
It's a very tall order, Mike. But it starts on Thursday night. And, you know, it's not an easy situation for a coach to be in to try to get that message through to the players. But you have to find a way to try to get the message through. And then the players have to buy into that message and go out and execute.
Rangers fall 6-4 here in Game 3. Isaiah George into an empty net iced this one for the visitors, and Kitchener now down 3-0 in the series. It's back against the wall, do or die from here on out for the Rangers. We'll take a break. Come back with more of your calls on Rangers Talk. This is City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Say Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, the Kitchener Rangers scored three power play goals, and they battle back from 4-1 down to tie the London Knights 4-4 early in the third, but just not enough for Kitchener tonight as they fall 6-4. Jacob Julian, a hat trick for London, and Isaiah George into an empty net. 519-570-2545. Star 570 and 1-800-570-5715. Let's go back to the phones. Bill, you are on Rangers Talk. Hello, Bill.
Hello, I didn't know it was me. How are you guys tonight?
We're fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I think Thursday night we might hear the fat lady sing. And I think anybody that thinks they're going to beat London 4th Street smoking some good crack. But anyway, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm very happy with what the season did. I mean, they weren't even supposed to make the playoffs, maybe. Here they are. They led the league for half the season. And then they did all this with two 16-year-olds and maybe one 17-year-old in the back end. The young team were in a rebuild, put a Erie, and, you know, had a give London one good game, I say. And what more can you ask? Like, I'm looking to the future. I'm pretty well done with this year.
Well, what was the one good game? Because I thought game one was pretty good, and certainly this one tonight was pretty good.
I thought tonight's game was the one where they really give it, where they're actually hitting London and, you know, making them keep their heads up instead of the other way around.
Right.
I didn't think they were hitting much and pushing back much in the first game.
Bill, do you think because we had such a great first half of the season that the expectations of this club got skewered a little bit?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like, if they had been what they were supposed to be in, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
You know, they probably would have been first round gone, you know, if they made it. They've done real good things for the young team, and they've got some really good young rookies coming up. Like you say, two young rookies on the back end. You know, you don't see that often in the playoffs.
Well, four 16-year-olds have played all season long.
And I don't know who the other rookie is you're talking about. Maybe Diracolo. He is 18, but he's new to the league.
Oh, okay, well, that's what I mean. He's new to the league.
Yeah.
But that coach has done amazing for what he has. Like, I think they've got good things going forward. Yep.
All right, Bill. Yeah. Appreciate that call. And I'd rather save, you know, an in-depth post-mortem until the official time for it. I understand the feeling. And, yes, if the fat lady is not singing, she's certainly warming up in the wings somewhere here at the Memorial Auditorium. We'll see what Thursday brings. But absolutely nothing is impossible. This team has won four games or more in a row three times through the regular season, doing it against the London Knights in the playoffs while you're down two defensemen. That's a whole other story. However, we can save some of that postmortem, I think, until the final game is played. That could be Thursday, that could be Friday, that could be Sunday, that could be next Tuesday when Game 7 rolls around, if there is such a thing in this series. But, Paul, you do make a good point about how the incredible, really, first half of this season may have skewed expectations internally and externally here in Kitchener. But to Bill's point also, Cameron Reed on the blue line. We've watched the emergence of Luca Romano in these playoffs for sure. Matthias Stark on defense is out there gaming here tonight. Tanner Lamb a part of this team. We got to meet Evan Hedrick, the first rounder the Rangers just picked up this past weekend in the draft. I mean, I haven't seen him play, but just meeting the young man, I was very impressed by the character. There is a lot to like about this team beyond this season.
Absolutely, and you know, the coach has said money in the bank all season long, and I think he's bang on. The experience that these guys are getting is tremendous. It's tremendous on a go-forward basis. And, you know, if they are to ultimately lose this series, you know, you can't forget that sickening feeling in your gut. I mean, Gabriel Landeskog still talks 13 years later about how upset he was when we did that interview with him. So you can't lose that feeling of darn, I want to beat London next year, or whoever it is that you face. And I think this has been a wonderful experience for them. I'm not throwing in the towel yet. Mike, as a player and as a coach, I never quit until I was told I couldn't play anymore. And I truly believe, knowing the coaching staff here as well as we know them, they're not going to allow these guys to quit. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they're not going to allow them to quit.
A team that certainly has a bitter taste in its mouth from losing the Eastern Conference Final to Peterborough last year is the North Bay Battalion, and they came back from 5-3 down late, went to overtime, and knocked off the Sudbury Wolves in their own barn tonight. North Bay 6, Sudbury 5. It's the Battalion now with a 3-0 series lead in that one, and they're doing it without Dom DeVincentis and Anthony Romani. It's pretty impressive.
Those are two huge pieces of that puzzle that it's impressive what they're able to do. I still believe Oshawa is the best team in the East. I just think they're a really good, solid team. Not spectacular, solid, and well-coached. And, you know, with a 3-0 lead in that series, I don't see Ottawa coming back against them. If it's an Ottawa-North Bay matchup, and if North Bay is able to get those two players back, that could be a heck of a Eastern Final, because North Bay's got a great hockey club as well. And it's nice to see Justin Ertl on his swan song, you know, having some good playoff success.
Absolutely. Stars prospect, local boy, son of an assistant coach in Sault Ste. Marie, and a good friend in this city. He's got 5 goals, Justin Ertl does, in these playoffs so far. Actually, I didn't check if he was on the score sheet tonight, but 6-5, North Bay wins in Sudbury. Oshawa in overtime, 4-3 winners in Ottawa. That's our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. A couple of Eddies on the line with us tonight. I didn't know there were two. They're starting to multiply. We'll begin with regular Eddie. Eddie, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Edward.
You can't play 35 minutes and expect to win. I'll give them kudos. Those 35 minutes were probably the best 35 minutes they've played all playoffs. But those first 25 kill you, man.
Yeah, I thought the third period was a really nice period. The way the period started, like, good plays both ways, you know, strong offense, well defended rushes, etc. Rangers get the tying goal. London gets the go-ahead goal. If we could see 3 or I'll take 12 more periods of hockey like that, boy, oh boy, that was fun in the third.
Yeah,
I have a question for you. How did you throw that softball up in the air and predict 3 power play goals? That was a heck of a prediction.
Well, because you knew UC would light a fire under you know what. So, at home, and plus London takes a lot of penalties. I forget whether it was game 1 or 2, but one of you said that, like, the Rangers are going to get opportunities. Like, it's not a question of if, it's more a question of how many, because we know how London likes to play. So it was only a matter of time. Like, it was only a matter of time before they were going to get it going.
Yeah, and Fixie, you called it. And the fix is in for City Cabs tonight. You predicted correctly that there would be more than 5 power plays per side. Each team had 6 tonight. The Rangers would get a power play goal. The only miss you had on the fix is in for City Cabs was Mitch Martin getting a point.
Yeah, sometimes you make choices with your heart instead of your head, Mike.
My tonight, heart was with you.
My heart made that choice. It's just nice to see him playing again.
It is. So, Eddie, what do you think? Any chance of a comeback for the Kitchener Rangers in this series?
Well, you know what? I'll point to a choke job by both teams, 2010 and 2019. Just think about that.
thanks for the 2010 reference yet again.
Yeah, no problem, man. You're welcome. You're welcome for that one. but no, 2019. You know, I'll tell you, 2019, it's feels a little similar. I was at that game 3 in Guelph when London won a similar game. It was like a 5-4 game or something. Like, it was a game where, you know, Knights fans, they're going crazy as usual. They all feel themselves. So, and then we know what happened from there. So I'm not going to, I'm just going to leave it there. You can make up your own decision.
Well, I'll tell you, like, the 2010 team, we had very good players, obviously. Taylor Hall took control of the series and was the best player. And obviously he went number one. He was the best player on the ice every game after that. Kitchener needs Taylor Hall. They need a Taylor Hall to take control of this series. Who is that? I don't know. Is it Carson Rakoff? Is it Matt Sopp? But they need that kind of presence for them to get back in the series.
That's a really good point.
I can think of a few of those players who we could really use to step up here.
Yep.
Eddie, appreciate the call. Thanks for making it. And, you know, that reference back to the Guelph series and how close Game 3 was, and then the Storm kind of found their way. You heard Mitch Martin make mention of it. The last two playoffs for the Kitchener Rangers really have been kind of special. They're a number 7 knocking off the number 2 Knights in round 1 2 years ago. And then last year, they're 8th on paper. I have to stress that. It wasn't really an 8th place team the way it was built, but they entered the playoffs as the 8th seed, and they swept the number 1 seeded Windsor Spitfires. No team in history has ever swept a 1 as an 8. So maybe there's a little bit of magic left in some of the ghosts of the Memorial Auditorium here that can help out.
That's what we can hope for. Maybe Don Cameron can send a little good karma from above. We know he's watching, Mike. That's what it takes. It takes a belief. And I think Mitchell hit the nail on the head, too, when he said they need a little bit of puck luck. You know, and you have to make your own luck at times too. But I think the biggest thing for them is their start has to be great, and they have to get their feet moving right from the get go. Because when your feet are moving, that allows you to make plays, but it also gives you an opportunity to draw penalties, and that's what happened here a couple times tonight.
All right, we had regular Eddie. How about new Eddie? Eddie the Imposter. You're on Rangers Talk.
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're well, thank you.
Good. Hey, how about that call out from Bob, Ernie Harwell? We're going back.
Anybody that wants to, if you want to just talk about classic broadcasters, Fixie and I will sit here and talk about them all night.
He was a special announcer, no question.
Yeah,
we can
go Vin Scully. We can go Danny Gallivan. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Eddie, I'm sure you've got other things to talk about.
No, I mean, that's all good. It leads into the coverage. I mean, I love listening to you guys, and every time I'm not in the rink, I have to listen to you and then pause the TV, and I can never sync it up. It's frustrating. But you could move to TV anytime, and I'd be happy.
Well, it just takes a little bit of practice, Eddie. You'll figure it out. I've got faith in you.
Anyways, thanks for the kind words.
Out of the gate, you know, I don't think it's done and over. No way. His fourth game in Kitchener, no way. You go back to the first two games. First game, reffing was goofy, the goofy net goal. Game two, same thing. And game two, I was at both those games. And the reffing, there were some real questionable calls for both teams. Like the fans, London or Kitchener, were both shaking their heads. So it had a factor in the games. Tonight, I mean, second period, third period was good. You know, I mean, it's the garbage after the whistle that London had perfected in game one and two that went kind of unchecked. They continue to do it in game three. And, you know, I think if the Rangers can stay away from the crap after the whistle, we'll stay out of the box. We'll get the opportunities. But, you know, the reffing, I think, was very fair today. So I think, you know, that's the one element on two. Number two, I'd say, you know, London's very skilled. They're gritty. But, you know, again, after every whistle, they're rubbing the guy into the boards. They're giving him a stick. We got to be more responsible and just go beyond that. It's, you know, hand on your stick and time and space. And, you know, I think, you know, it's quicker passes, moving the feet, getting out of our zone. You know, puck on stick and shots on net. And I mean, I don't know if it can be any clearer. The boys aren't rolling over. And they showed some real promises. The puck could have gone either way all night today. And so I'm calling Rangers Thursday, and that's the only game that matters. And they're going to show up big time.
Well, you're right. You can't worry about Game 5 until you take care of business in Game 4. The one thing, I agree with a lot of things you said, Eddie. The one variable that is a little concerning for me is the status of Simon Motu. Like, We need him in the lineup to fulfill what you've just talked about. I truly believe that.
Yeah. No, I agree. You can't go into the corner and check with one hand on your stick. Okay? We have to be tougher. We have to fight for those pucks. Offense, defense, central. I mean, you're absolutely right. We just have to be tougher. And London, some of the other callers and you have discussed, you know, London's got that grit. You got the hunter mentality. And we just need a little more toughness. The guys have the heart. They just got to be a little more tough and be on that, you know, stick on the puck, puck in the net.
All right, Eddie, really appreciate the call and your
optimism.
Harkening back to the old days, the optimism, the kind words, your sense of humor when I called you Eddie the Imposter, all of that stuff. Appreciate hearing from you. But one of the things that Eddie touched on, and we've talked about a little bit, is part of that MO. He mentioned how in the first couple of games, you know, London did a good job of sort of asserting itself physically with all the stuff after whistles. You're going to take... You know, you're going to be black and blue when you're done a game. There's going to be a little slash here, a little cross check there, a little face wash or a jab here after whistles. And I think Eddie's right. It has been clamped down on. And I found it interesting on Saturday when we were leaving Budweiser Gardens. You and I felt as though it had been a pretty well-officiated game. And the London media was a polar opposite, thought it was one of the worst officiated games they had ever seen. I find that interesting how two different sets of broadcasters saw the same game differently.
Yeah, we talked about that the whole way home afterwards, you and myself. I think the officials have done a good job, Mike. You know, as far as the goal, the review goal that counted, I mean, by the letter of the law, that goal counts. I don't understand it, but that's the letter of the law, the way that rule is written, 63.7 or 67.3. So, I mean, they just called it the way it is. I don't think the officials have determined any of these games. I think they've done a good job, and you know, you're never going to be completely happy with the way the game's officiated, especially when you lose. But I can't blame the officials at all. I think they've done a good job, and tonight, certainly, they made the calls they had to make. You know, the one point that Eddie makes is the grittiness of the London Knights. And I just think back to the play of Barkey. When Barkey had the great scoring opportunity, Romano gets the rebound, starts to come out of the zone, and Barkey hunts him down, strips him of it, now has the puck again, and Romano ends up taking the penalty. That's the type of grittiness I think that Eddie's talking about, and he's bang on. They are, you know, like the old saying, like dog on a bone, they are.
Absolutely.
They are relentless.
Great example of that, and we saw it happen right before our eyes. I'm curious how the league is going to respond to the Caleb Lawrence hit tonight. He got five in a game. Simon Motu does not finish the game. Sam O'Reilly of the London Knights already suspended for two games for the check on Olivier Savard. It'll be really interesting to see if the league wants to interfere again. Caleb Lawrence is having himself a heck of a playoff, but that was as clear a blindside hit to the head as ever we have seen, so we'll see if the league responds.
Lawrence out, O'Reilly in? Is that what you think?
That could be, yeah, exactly. Could be for the London Knights on Thursday. 6-4, the Knights win tonight. They take a 3-0 series lead over the Kitchener Rangers. We take a quick break, come back with more Rangers Talk. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring. This is City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Carson Rakoff had a couple of assists for the Kitchener Rangers. Adrian Misiljevic, a goal and a helper. Edward Chalet scored again. Those are all the good signs from the Kitchener Rangers tonight. They also had three, count them, three power play goals. But they fall 6-4 to the London Knights after battling back from 4-1 down. Jacob Julien with his hat trick goal turned out to be the winner. Isaiah George into an empty net. And London, with the 6-4 win tonight, now has a 3-0 series lead. Let's get back to the phones. Steven, you are on Rangers Talk.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Well, a little bit disappointed, a little bit frustrated, but definitely the good part. I mean,
Stephen, I hate to break it to you, but your phone is not cooperating.
Oh, it's not working good, is it? Hang on here. I may have to move to not such solid ground.
There you go.
Is that better? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, anyway. You know, and at least kudos when they came back again. And it's just too bad. I mean, with London, one little defensive mistake and it cost you, you know. And for a while, if you're missing defensemen, that's definitely a problem. I can kind of see why. You know, you can kind of see their coach. I think he knows a little bit about cheap shots. So, yeah, and suspensions, who knows? I mean, the league has been up and down like officiating. You know, this guy gets two, this guy gets three. I still can't believe Trent Swick got five, you know, and that player got nothing. And then in the series against the Sioux, he takes out another player, and then they finally decide to suspend him. But, yeah, it's sketchy at best. But anyway, well, definitely a big uphill battle, but like Garrett said, one shift at a time and gain some momentum and, you know, get those tough goals on Simpson, because this guy, it's almost like what he can see, he'll pretty well stop. So anyway, my friends, take care. Have a good night and talk to you Thursday.
All right, Stephen, appreciate the call. And, you know, the thing, what puts the league in a really awkward position, Paul, is it doesn't want to be, you know, we just talked in the previous segment about how the officiating that we've seen, love it or lump it, and we've thought actually over three games have been pretty good, contrary to what some of our colleagues felt, but that's not the point. You said then that it certainly hasn't been a determining factor in a game. I don't think the league wants to be a determining factor in any team's playoff success or lack thereof. They already suspended Sam O'Reilly for two games. What do you do now with Caleb Lawrence on a... Anyway, he got five in a game. He deserved five in a game for a blindside hit to the head of Simon Motu. And I just want, I want for the league's sake, I don't care if it's Kitchener committing the infractions or London or Sudbury, I want the best players on the ice to compete against one another and see the best team win in that moment. And I think this really puts the league in a tough spot. Caleb Lawrence is having a whale of a playoff for the London Knights.
He is, and a lot of times the suspension or supplement discipline is a direct result of the extent of the injury to the player. So if Simon Motu isn't able to play, I think that'll weigh into it as well. If he is able to play, maybe they let him off the hook. I don't know how you let him off the hook, Mike. They want to take headshots out of the game. That was a shot to the head. Unless I'm seeing something on the review that others... I know there were some people on the London side that completely disagree with me, and of course they're going to support their player. I saw a distinct contact with the head. Motu was down a little bit. He had crouched down when he was defending, but and Lawrence is a big, he's a big boy. He's a tall boy, but it's the indefensible player being hit, and Simon Motu was indefensible in that regard.
You said it during the game, Paul. The minute we saw the replay and what had transpired, and you said if you want hits to the head out of the game, stop hitting your fellow player in the head.
No question. Like, it's that simple.
Yeah.
It really is that simple. And that, to me, was a blatant shot to the head, and that's unacceptable. What we know now about the head injuries and stuff, stop hitting people in the head. It's a tough enough game to begin with, and it's going to happen, you know, from the shoulder and rubs up or whatever. But when it's when you're targeting the head, to me, it's unacceptable. And every time it happens, it should be suspendable.
Maybe the league has a little bit of leeway here, if you will, considering that London is up 3-0 in this series. It's a long way for the Kitchener Rangers to come back. So if, and I'm just emphasizing the if, you suspend Caleb Lawrence now, there might be one more game in this series. There might be four, but you can carry that over into the next round in the games early in a series that are less impactful, so to speak. Maybe the league takes that into consideration as well. Who knows? We're going to have to wait 24 hours to find out.
What a productive player, though, that he's been for the he's a heck of a player, and I don't think he's a dirty player. That just happened to be a dirty play in my mind.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment wholeheartedly, Paul. And I would also add, we saw this at the end of game number two in London. Simon Motu, marked man for whatever reason for the Kitchener Rangers.
He's been a marked man throughout this series, and he's taken a lot of licks, and he's bounced up. And I just hope he can bounce back from this one. He's a tough individual. It's not a great sign that he wasn't able to play in the third period, though.
Yeah, because if he could have, he would have. He had a couple of shifts afterwards, and clearly I can just imagine how that conversation went at the bench, right? I'm fine, leave me alone. And the training staff on the ball here said, nope, you're not fine enough.
Yeah. You know, in this day and age, with how much we know about injuries to that area, you have to make the right decision, the right call. And these training staffs are so prepared, and they know what they're doing, and you have to trust them.
Yeah, you certainly do. 6-4, the London Knights take game three from the Kitchener Rangers here at the Memorial Auditorium. That is now a 3-0 series lead for the Knights in this semifinal in the Western Conference. We'll take a final break, come back to wrap on Rangers Talk. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, I will say this. I didn't expect 3-0 series in this second round, but that's what we've got. After there were 3 sweeps in the first round here in the West, the Rangers were the only team to go beyond 4 games. London swept Flint, Sioux swept Guelph, and Saginaw swept Owen Sound. Kitchener goes 6 games versus Erie. On the other side, we didn't have any sweeps in the East, unless I'm forgetting. I don't think I am. But then here now in the second round, all 3 series, after overtime wins tonight for North Bay, 6-5 in Sudbury, and Oshawa, 4-3 in Ottawa. Oshawa, North Bay, and thanks to London, 6-4 win here tonight, Paul Fixter. All 3 leading teams lead 3-0. Who'd have thunk it?
Really interesting that that's the way it's gone down. I would have never thought that you'd have that. You know, as you go along in the playoffs, you expect the teams to be closer and tighter series. But when you get into overtime, Mike, in the situation in Sudbury, hey, it takes one shot, and that's obviously what North Bay was able to do. London, they just keep rolling. They haven't lost in the playoffs.
I know, 7-0 now.
Yeah. You know what? We haven't talked about tonight, though, and it's interesting, and he won't be in the league next year, I don't believe. Easton Cowan's streak came to an end tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
At
42 games.
41 or 42.
42. I think it was 36 regular season and 6 playoffs. Yeah. I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Good eye.
It came to an end tonight. There's another positive to take out of the game. I'm just joking. But what an accomplishment that was. And he's going to be a heck of a prospect for the Toronto Maple Leafs, no question about it. But, yeah, held off the score sheet when they scored 6 goals.
Yeah.
Goes to show you the depth of that hockey club.
Oh.
When you're holding off a guy in his six-goal game.
Also held off the score sheet in the National League. He hit a goal post, but he could not get number 70. Auston Matthews, one more try at 70 as the Leafs fell 5-2 to the Florida Panthers tonight on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. All right, Paul and I got to get out of here. It is a school night, after all. We'll be back on Thursday. Game number 4, you know the cliches. Back against the wall, do or die, must win. The Kitchener Rangers down 3-0 in the series. Our pregame show Thursday night will begin at 6:35. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, and our producer back at the boardwalk, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell. I bid you a very good Tuesday night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.